The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Episode 373, How Much House Can You Afford?
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And it is increasingly harder to afford a house. Oof. It is it's more affordable to rent in most places now than it is to buy. But if you still have your heart set on buying, you should. And we are going to help you figure out maybe what is the best amount of house for you.
Yeah. How much can you afford? It might be less house. Less house than 5 years ago. But listen, if you didn't do it 5 years ago because it wasn't the right timing, it wasn't the season you were in, you don't need to stress about that. Things shift and change. We cannot tell the future. And there are still things we can do in walking out wisdom and discernment for what's going to be the best next step for us as individuals and for our families. So we're just here to give you what we know, what the internet has to say, and kind of weigh it out. What's going to be your best next step?
Yes. But first, this episode is brought to you by Cash Back. We all love cash back, but it's such a small amount that it often doesn't make a big difference. But one of the sponsors of the friend letter, Cashified, is a perfect fit to tell you about in this episode because they offer cash back on your home purchase, essentially. So it's cash back at closing when you use one of their partner real estate agents. So if you're buying a home and you don't have an agent yet, check out Cashified. It's Cashified. I usually see between $1,000 and $2,000 cash back. Don't quote me on that. I don't know the percentage they use. Again, it's a small percentage because that's cash back. But when you're making a huge purchase like a home, that can go a long way for affording more at closing time. So cutting closing costs. So check them out, frugalfriendspodcast.com/cashified, or just click the link in the show notes. And thank you for supporting our sponsors in the friend letter that helps us bring it to you 3 times a week for free with lots of tips to save money, ways to get significant cash back. And if you're not getting the friend letter yet, definitely head to frugalfriendspodcast.com to start getting that. It's free and sponsors allow us to keep it free for you.
I love this one. You just recently told me about Cashified. Wish I had known about it when we did buy our house, and maybe they didn't exist yet then. I just know that we spent a great deal of time, probably more time than we should have, negotiating for the seller to give us like $1,000 towards closing costs. And in the grand scheme of things, like $1,000 probably wasn't worth all the time and energy of negotiation back and forth. But yeah, if we had just known about this, that could have helped a lot.
Yeah, it would have been much easier. So if you are wanting to buy a home, there are a lot of creative ways that you can make that fit in your budget. Again, we don't believe that you need to own a home in order to be financially secure, financially free, but we don't believe it's a bad thing. It is something that is person to person, different. So if you are the person who wants to own a home, then go with that. We have a couple other episodes to help you out. We've got episode 356, Frugal Side Hustle, Airbnb Rooms and Co-Hosting. This was what Airbnb Rooms, essentially renting out a room in your home on Airbnb. This is what Travis and I did when we first bought our home before we had kids, to help make our home more affordable. And then also co-hosting is a way you can use Airbnb to make money without hosting anyone. It definitely does help if you have hosting experience, but you can be a digital co-host and manage properties for Airbnb owners. So 356, that's a really good one. And then episode 219, home buying tips in a crazy hot market. It's a little outdated, but we have a lot of tips that are still, it'll help you even more, because this we recorded when it was a seller's market, and it's currently a kind of a buyer's market, but it's still, it's come more to a buyer's market. But so these tips should help you even more. So episode 219, but let's get into our first headline. When you take to the internet and you Google, how much house can I afford? These are the types of things the internet's going to give you. And we're going to talk about some things so you don't have to Google, and also some of our opinions. And the first article that comes up, both are actually from Bankrate. They just have a lot of good home buying content. And this first one is, should I buy a house now or wait?
That is the question. I think I've even been talking with a lot of friends about this. Like, they'll come to me because of this podcast. A lot of people know I have this podcast, and I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of out of the game. I'm in a house currently, but it does feel, I can feel the weight of that question, seeing how much has shifted in the last 3 years, some of the ebbs and flows. You can have that feeling of, well, is it going to get worse? Am I going to look back in 3 years from now and wish I had bought now? Or is it going to get better? Am I going to wish that I had waited longer? And I think this is the question we're all asking, now or wait. This article, I think, has a really tempered, helpful approach, but they are citing that most would-be buyers currently are picking the wait side of the equation, that the volume of existing home sales was down more than 14% from October 2022 to October of this past year of 2023, according to the National Association of Realtors. And according to the Fannie Mae Home Purchase Sentiment Index, released in early November, an overwhelming 85% of consumers believe it's a bad time to buy a house. And yet they're also citing some different reasons of why it might be looking a little bit better. So, you know, we were, as buyers, in a constant disadvantage over the past few years, but things have started to look a little bit better for buyers in parts of the country. Certainly, depending on where you're at in the United States, different pockets are looking different. So you've got days on the market. Those figures are up. So that is currently giving buyers more time to make an informed decision. So we are not in the thick of some of those pandemic days where you were waiving inspections and pulling the trigger. You only had hours to make decisions, and you were competing with 10 other people and paying over asking price. We are starting to see it cool off a bit, which is great. But yeah, popular West Coast cities that had been skyrocketing, like Seattle and San Francisco, they saw double-digit year-over-year declines. So this is giving a little bit more leverage to buyers. Of course, you've also got the issue now of increased interest rates. So at the time of recording, the average is just under 8%. You're looking at about 7.9%, but we know day to day, month to month, that has shifted and changed. We saw about 6% back in October 2023. Now we're kind of back up to just under 8%. So these things we can't totally predict. I do think we are in a bit better times than maybe a year or two ago. Again, with that kind of time on the market, prices are cooling off slightly. You've got a little bit more negotiation power as a buyer. But again, the downside is those interest rates. So these are the things that we're all weighing out. And so then mm-hmm. when it comes to, yeah, is it a good time to buy? They kind of have some helpful things to think through.
Yeah, it is every home buying season has its unique qualities, right? So we purchased a house in April of 2022. And literally I was comparing lenders at the end of March and getting rate locks and kind of going in to negotiate. And while I was doing that, is when the interest rates started skyrocketing. And so I locked in a rate and went to talk to the lender. And he's like, you need to go with this rate because you will not find this rate from any lender from here on out. And so we got really lucky in that. But we were buying at a time where inspections were being waived. We were, you know, at some homes, we were offering $60,000 over asking and still getting outbid. So it was such a stressful time. I would prefer a season like this where you can take your time, you can negotiate the price. Ultimately, the price of your house won't change over 30 years. What you buy it at now is what it will stay at. Rates can change, and rates are now trending downward. It's still very high, making it unaffordable at some rates because houses are back trending upwards in price. So we had a few months where they were trending down. They are back trending up in increased price. So these three qualities that Bankrate lays out, if you do meet them and you want to buy a house, then it would be a good time to buy a house. If you don't meet these three qualifications, essentially, then it probably is better to wait until you do. But again, home buying season will have its unique qualities, and you have to. Sometimes the best time to buy a house was, you know, always quote unquote 5 years ago, right? Except for a few times in history. But we don't have that, and we cannot predict the future. So we can predict with some certainty what 2024 is going to be like. It looks like house prices are going back up and interest rates are going down. So that may be good if you buy now. It may mean you can refinance sooner. And you have more, right now you have more negotiating power for the home price. Then when interest rates go down, you will have less negotiating power because more buyers will flood the market. So you have to kind of weigh those options. But if you can afford it, I would take more negotiating leverage on the home price. We definitely did not get that. We didn't overpay, but we definitely paid at the top. Like, our home has not accrued any equity in the past 2 years. But we have this rate locked in that we can actually afford. And if we had to pay a 7% interest rate, we would not be in this house. We can afford it because we're Airbnb-ing the back part, and it is a rental property ultimately for us. So that's my insight. So I'll go into this first. You need to answer yes to these three questions, essentially. And if you can, now is the time to buy. The first is, do you have excellent credit? Anytime you're borrowing money, start by checking your credit score. The best deals on mortgages will be available to those with high scores of 740 and above. It says, in fact, the median credit score for mortgage borrowers in the third quarter of 2023 was 770. And if you are in the excellent range, you're not going to get any better rate than at 800 than you are at 770 and probably even 740. So once you're in that excellent range, you've pretty much tapped out. for the low rates on your mortgage.
Yeah. Number two is, have you saved enough for a down payment? So of course, in addition to meeting all of your regular expenses, your typical month-to-month spending plan, you need to be sitting on a sizable chunk of change for a down payment. I will also add for closing costs. We'll get into some of those numbers in the next article. But the more you can pay upfront, the less you'll have to borrow, which then means the less interest you'll have to pay. So having plenty for a down payment is certainly going to make lenders feel more comfortable about loaning you money. It helps to have that cushion in case if something unexpected happens. So not just a down payment, but then even more left over after that. Again, not just for closing costs, but now as you're stepping into, this is the first time for you being a homeowner, you're going to run into all sorts of unexpected things when it comes to upkeeping a home. If you're used to renting and having your landlord pay for fixes as they happen, that's not going to be the case anymore. So my personal recommendation is having at least $5,000 set aside for whatever you might run into with the house over the upcoming year or two. I know for us, our heating and cooling system went out within the first couple of months of us moving into our home. So things like that can happen, not to mention if there's any other fixes or aesthetic things that you want to do to the home, having additional money set aside for that. So what you're down, and I know that they're kind of using just general terms, have a sizable chunk of change, enough money. Of course, some of the typical recommendation is 20% of the overall home purchase price would be a good down payment goal. Many people don't do that. The reason for doing 20% is not just to cut the amount that you are borrowing, but also that usually cuts out, you don't have to pay private mortgage insurance. That PMI can add a monthly cost to your mortgage. Honestly, for us, we chose not to do 20%, and our PMI is only about $30 a month. So it was more advantageous for us to keep cash in our pockets, pay the $30 a month, than to shell out thousands more. That's going to have to be a personal decision. Of course, it depends on the type of loan that you're getting, how much of a down payment, but still the bigger, the better, certainly, because again, you're borrowing less, which means you're going to pay less interest. And in a time when interest rates are fairly high compared to what we've seen over the last few years, that's going to be pretty advantageous for you.
Yeah. And we'll play around with some numbers in the next article, but essentially you need to have your down payment and your emergency fund set. So yeah, 5,000 is a good number, or at least three months of expenses in your emergency fund plus your down payment. In a setting like this, you can go with a lower percentage down payment and still have negotiating power. In more competitive markets, the person putting down more money will beat you out almost every time. So think about that as you decide when to purchase, because right now you might be able to get away with 3.5% down. In the future, you might have to go closer to 5 or 10%, and houses will increase in price. So we were able, when the market was really good, we did put 3.5% down because, yeah, same for us. We saw equity rising and saw that it was much better for us to pay PMI than it would to wait to save thousands more dollars. So PMI is great, and you can use the equity built in your house to put towards a refinance to get PMI off. So I wouldn't worry about that. But if you're worried between saving 3 to 10%, the earlier you buy, the lower your down payment, I think. And this is personal opinion. You'll have more leverage with your down payment.
Mm-hmm. I like how they wrap up this article in saying, like, ultimately, the decision of when to buy a home is up to you. Life's going to go on, whether the timing is perfect or not. If you're anxious to become a homeowner and you've met the criteria that we've just mentioned and you're financially stable, you can go ahead and start house hunting. But if you're not feeling, if it's making you feel uncomfortable, if you've not met this criteria, then you might want to lean more on the side of waiting. I think that's kind of the most helpful summary.
Yeah. And then the third one is, are you planning to stay in the home for a while? So beyond the purchase price, buying a home comes with closing costs, like we mentioned. It comes with, replacing water heaters and furnaces and all of that one-time transaction costs. You should be reasonably certain you won't move again anytime soon, or that you are willing to keep that property as a rental if you do move. And that's what we did. We bought another house and are renting out our old house because we wanted to buy a rental and they were too expensive. So we had to buy a bigger house. We had to upgrade when we didn't want to, turn the back part of this house into a rental and use our original primary home as our, you know, kind of the rental we wanted to buy. So it was a move that we made. If I had it to do again, I wouldn't do it again. I'm just going to be honest. I wouldn't do it again. It will turn out to be profitable for us in the end. But I'm not a real estate investor. I've learned that about myself. And I don't want to even have long-term renters or Airbnb. I'm done with it. So I would say be very sure that you're going to stay in this house for a long time. You can rent it out possibly should you want to move, but you should not want to move if you are buying a house somewhere. So those are the three questions that you need to answer yes to. Do I have excellent credit? Have I saved enough for a down payment? Part B, do I have also my emergency fund? And three, am I planning to stay in this home for a while? And if you can answer yes to all those questions, then this could be the time to buy. And so we will look at costs, specific costs, in our next article. We've been there, done that with overpriced wireless providers and their fine print contracts. But with Mint Mobile, their wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's it. No catch.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
So you can say bye-bye to that overpriced phone plan you've been using and bring your own phone, your same number, and all your contacts with you right on over to any Mint Mobile plan.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/frugal. That's mintmobile.com/frugal. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/frugal. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial.
Our next article is also from Bankrate, and it is literally titled, How Much House Can I Afford? And it starts out with a calculator that we will play around with, but then also has some guidance, some wisdom that you should think about when you are asking how much house I can afford.
These calculators are so fun. It's amazing the tools that the internet has. You can just plug and play with these numbers. So to give an example, to answer this tangibly, how much house can I afford? We're just going to go on some loose numbers here to give you a general sense, but certainly use this tool, find yourself somewhere in here. So if we were to say, use some pretty straightforward, easy numbers, that an annual gross household income is $120,000. So if both you and a partner are working and bringing in gross income of $120,000, we know that that's not everybody, but it's a number we're plugging in. And that your monthly debt currently, let's say you are in a debt payoff right now of student loan debt or credit card debt of, let's say, $500 a month. This could also probably include car payment too, right?
It's any debt. Yeah, any kind of debt. It's all minimum payment. If your minimum payments equal $500 a month.
Total. So if it's more than that, you know, consider that. But so we're saying that this person, this fictional family, it has $500 of monthly debt that they're paying off and that they have $20,000 for a down payment, that the current interest rate available to them is 7.9% and they are interested in a 30-year mortgage.
Oh, this is 7.3. This one.
Oh, sorry. My eyesight is not great. 7.3%. Wouldn't that be nice? So what the calculator then spits out is that the recommended budget for price of a home that you could afford would be $419,813. Let's just call it 420. You could buy a home for $420,000. At that point, your monthly payment would be about $2,700, $2,741. And that your estimated closing costs would be right around $12,000. So that means, in addition to that $20,000 down payment we just mentioned, you'd have to also have $12,000 set aside for closing costs. These are, of course, all estimates. This doesn't include different negotiations that you may make, and of course, all the different numbers that you could be plugging into the calculator. It's also assuming certain tax rates and insurance rates, but depending on where you're looking at buying, your property taxes, your monthly insurances, if you live in an area like us in Florida and you're also required to get flood insurance, all of those things could also increase your monthly payments.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So this calculator in this like particular person, we did this off of the median home price in the U.S. being $412,000. So this is the income, debt, down payment, interest rate kind of that will get you the average home in America. It's not place to place, but this is kind of what you're looking at for quote unquote median. And it includes a few things like property tax per month and homeowners insurance, but doesn't include PMI or HOA fees. So it's not all encompassing, but this is what you can expect. And if you have these different qualifications, your maximum budget, they will give you a $522,000. They'll approve you for around $522,000, depending on your credit score. And that'll give you a monthly payment around $3,400 and be $15,000 in closing costs. But the way Bankrate is doing this is they run off, they recommend something called the 28-36% rule. So most financial advisors agree that people should spend no more than 28% of their gross monthly income on housing expenses and no more than 36% on total debt. So the 28-36 rule is the home affordability rule that most financial advisors use. It means your mortgage payment should be affordable. It says Let's say you earn $4,000 a month, and that means your mortgage payment should be a maximum of 1,120, 28% of 4,000, and your other debts should add up to no more than 1,440 each month, 36%. So you have more room for more debt than in the scenario we gave. But when I was playing around with the numbers, the more debt that I put into the calculator, the higher the price, or the lower the price of the home that would be recommended. And I wanted to keep that as close to 412 as possible. So if you have more debt, then you can certainly, and the homes are less expensive than 412, then that's fine. But think about the 28% rule. Take your gross monthly income. So not net, take your gross monthly. 28% of that is about what your mortgage payment should be. And they're saying mortgage payment, not PMI, taxes, all the escrow stuff, because you really can't predict that until the very end. So that's why they say all the calculators are going to give you just your mortgage payment. So instead of using 30, which is what most people have maybe heard of, use 28% of gross monthly income on mortgage. And then make sure your debts don't add up to more than 36%, because your debt to income ratio is a huge factor in what you get approved for in the mortgage business. So really, those are the two most important things to consider when figuring out how much you can afford.
Mm-hmm. I do really like how they're also mentioning in this article, considering what your monthly payment will be. I think sometimes when people are going through this home buying process and they get approved for something, it's like, okay, great. The lender is saying I can get a house for $400,000. Let's go shopping. But not always looking at some of what will this mean for me in my then day-to-day, month-to-month. So I do think it's important not just to look at that one number, but also the monthly cost. Because if you could technically afford $4,000 a month, but let's say you're currently renting and you're used to $2,200 a month, or less, and plus maybe you're not needing to pay for certain utilities depending on where you're at, I think it's really important to look at how pinched am I going to feel? How financially strained might this cause for me if I do move forward with this at this time? So I think that's an important consideration. And I think once you are looking at specific houses, you can get a general sense for what are the property taxes in that area, what are people paying for homeowners insurance in that area, and you can get this calculator to give you an even more accurate estimate. Still going to be an estimate and approximate, but being sure that you feel comfortable with where you're at right now, if you were to take on that monthly amount, does this feel comfortable for you? Do you still feel like you have some financial cushion month to month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think looking at that debt to income, it's going to be important for your month to month. It's also super important for actually getting approved for the mortgage. The last week before you close on a home is so stressful because the mortgage companies like to leave everything to the last minute and stress you out to the max. Oh my gosh, this was so frustrating for me because I was trying to stay on top of everything. I was trying to like really make sure we had everything right up front, and they just kept putting me off until the very last minute. And it was so frustrating. So going in strong and knowing your debt to income ratio, your DTI, and you can do this. They give on this article the calculations for it, but you can just search for a DTI calculator and playing around with those numbers and just being very sure that you stay under that. It's going to be really important because everybody goes into home buying with a budget, right? So we can do these numbers and say everything, but everyone's going to go in with their budget and their agent is going to show them houses that are more, and it's just going to be a better house. Like houses that cost more are better. But we have to be really practical when you are making this kind of housing decision, this is one of your big three. Housing, transportation, food. Housing will make the biggest impact in your financial freedom. How much you spend on it, how much equity is growing, all of that. Your primary residence isn't typically an investment, though some people will say it is, but it does protect you against inflation like we've seen for the past 5 years. It is a protection. So you really have to look at this like a business decision. And yes, we want to be in a safe neighborhood and we want to have walls that are stable and all of these are the practical parts of the business decision. But we have to understand that windows can be replaced, tubs can be replaced, things can be replaced over time, things can be painted, wallpaper can be removed. I just removed a ton of it this weekend, you know, and these aren't all things you want to do. But if it keeps you in that debt to income ratio that puts you in a good monthly spot so that you can pay off your debt and invest, it's necessary. It's necessary to think that way.
We are living in a time, I know sometimes rental prices, are going to be, here's what I'm saying. I think if buying a house is also going to help with your monthly amount, I think for some people, a mortgage payment is going to be less than what maybe their rent price is, because we're also seeing rental prices skyrocketing as well. So it's not, I know we're saying that there's a lot to consider here, and man, this is so, so expensive. But for some people, this is going to be the best financial decision for them, both in the short term and the long term. And just to feel like, you're getting locked in at a certain rate rather than waiting and seeing and interest rates going up or being beholden to rent prices skyrocketing in your area.
Mm-hmm. The last thing I wanted to mention on this one is, how do current mortgage rates impact affordability? I just want to touch on that one more time because they have a part on here that says, over the last year or so, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates in an attempt to bring down inflation. And it worked. Inflation is much lower now than it was, though it's still not at the Fed's goal of 2%. But that caused mortgage rates to rise in turn. So increased rates often dampen the home buyer enthusiasm. We've seen that. However, if you're still in the market to buy a home, highest interest rates mean your monthly mortgage payments will be steeper. Even though mortgage rates aren't permanent, you still have to think in five-year terms. You have to be able to afford this house for 5 years. So as an example, with a 5% interest rate, the principal and interest on a 30-year, $600,000 mortgage would be $3,220 per month. At 8%, that figure would be $4,402, after dropping as low as 3% in late 2020, and rates hit 7.8% in October. I think they're back at around that in January. But so that is over $1,000 a month. So know that it's one of those things, like, you will, for the next 2 years, if you buy a house, you'll be paying probably $1,000 more than you would have a couple years ago. That's a lot. So you have to be at a financial place to do that. But once you are able to refinance in a couple years, that will go down drastically. So if you're still on the rise of your career, then maybe it is a time to wait. But if you feel like you are kind of maxed out and maybe are only pursuing the inflation raises, which we always think you should be pursuing as much money from your employer, as much money from your industry as possible. We don't believe you're ever capped out. But if you believe that you're not going to be making 20, 30% jumps anymore, you're kind of at that level, then definitely it's a good time to buy a house. And you can play around with these calculators kind of like that to see, to even play around with interest rates. I know in this example, we use 7.3, which is actually lower than what the average interest rate is. But so that is accounting for excellent credit. But yeah, you'll have to play around with the budget calculator. We definitely like the one at Bankrate because you can put in a lot of different things. But yeah, that's our recommendation.
Do you know what we also like to play around with? Keep it loosey-goosey. See where it takes us.
I love this one. It's always ages well. It's not like home buying episodes.
The bill of the week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, my name is Tony and I am from Wyoming. I started listening to your podcast about a month ago. I absolutely love it. We started our debt snowball to try to get out of our debt. And specifically, what has really helped me from your podcast is the frugal mindset and the values-based spending. So thank you for that. My bill of the week is our entertainment category. So going through our debt snowball, we obviously wanted to cut back as many expenses as we could. And we started looking at all of the entertainment subscriptions. So we have, you know, all the things, Hulu and Netflix and HBO and Disney and all of them. And what we ended up doing was deciding to pick one and cutting down on all the others. They're easy to cancel. They're easy to start up again. And so what we're going to do is keep one going at a time. When we get tired of the one that we picked, that's our favorite at the for now, and our kids get bored of watching things and we get bored of watching things, then we will cancel that one and pick a new one and start that subscription back up. So that's my tip for saving some money in that category and limiting some of those subscriptions. And also, honestly, we're spending less time watching TV that way. Hope you guys have a great day and thank you again so much for your podcast.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yay! Tony. I love this, Bill. I mean, thanks for your encouragement. I'm so glad that mindset and values-based spending has been particularly helpful in the debt payoff journey. And what an incredible tip here about subscription bills. I think this is one that, yeah, we can all take to heart. Jen, I know you do this. Eric and I have recently started doing this because you're right. It's so easy to re-sign up. If there's a new show on some other platform that you want to see, then cancel what you're currently watching and pick up the other one. It's like we can't be watching this multiple things at one time. And mm-hmm. I think it can help us to just find what is enough, be content, even if there are multiple people in the house. How can we negotiate, find one platform at a time that's going to entertain us and switch around? There's no problems with switching around. I love this so much.
We just canceled Disney Plus because it was going up in price so much. And we'll get it again when our you know, shows come back and we'll be able to binge them. There was I can't find the image now, but I just recently saw an image of how many pieces of content each streaming service has. And it was actually Prime has more content than any other streaming service out there. Wow. So I think the type of streaming service also has something to do with it. The variety. If you're an Amazon Prime member, I'm not. So I think Netflix was the second most. So thinking like, oh, I'll just get one at a time and go in order of these, you know, the amount of content in each. And I wish I could find it, but I'm having
that's
trouble,
helpful.
But maybe you
that's
can
cool.
you can Google it at a later date.
If you all listening want to submit your bill, if it happens to be a tip about ways simple ways you're learning to save money, if it's about paying off debt, if it's about a bill you don't mind paying, if it's about a dollar bill you found in the middle of the road, if it's about a person named Bill, if you are Bill, frugalfriendspodcast.com/Bill. We cannot wait to hear it.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial. Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards, a free flight, a room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
All right. So for today's vulnerability round, describe your dream house. Jill?
You know, Jen, in previous years, I probably would have been such a dreamer and said a really beautiful home right on the water with a boat dock and a pool in kind of an L shape with a bit of a courtyard. But I'm not going to say that anymore because the real world has happened. And I understand that if you live on the water, you're responsible for the seawall. And that needs to be redone every so often. And that's going to be tens of thousands of dollars. And to live on the water is going to increase your property tax and insurances just astronomically, that by the time your house is paid off, you're still paying far more than a mortgage would ever be just to live there, just because of the taxes and insurances that you still are going to maintain. So I'm not a glass half full on this one. But you know what it's doing is leading me to contentment and finding my enough. And so my dreaming big now is just saying, you know what? My house with a few more improvements is going to be where I probably live for the rest of my life because of the state of things.
Wow. House
but
in the middle of my heart.
If I could add a pool, just a small little plunge pool with a finished garage. So that was more than we even thought we could have. When we bought this house, having a detached garage was not even on my list of things because I didn't think I'd ever be able to afford it. It just so happened to have a detached garage, which is awesome. Someday I'd love to finish that off into some usable space. That would be great if I could have a pool and a finished garage. And if I could be so bold as to request that there's no more increase on our property taxes or insurances, that would be my dream.
That's
me dreaming big. It's not going to happen, but if you're asking me to dream, that's my dream. That's my new dream. I'm not on the water. I'm not paying for new seawalls, but it's what I'd love.
Mm-hmm. How about your house is a dream. I love your house. So
Thank you. I would
agree with you.
I mean, we've made it into something we love, that's for sure.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. So my dream house, 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 1 pool, and a finished garage. I have to put that in there for Travis. That is his dream. And so we, the state of things, this is not our dream house. This is not where we want to be long term. The thing was, is that we loved where we lived. We did not want to leave there. We just wanted to get an income property, and have that. And I don't know where we lost our way. Somewhere in early 2022, we lost our way and we realized that I got so angry. The first half of 2022, I was so angry because no normal person could buy a house under $400,000. Mm-hmm. It was infuriating. We put in offer after offer after offer, and that's not even the average home price in Florida. We were trying to buy the average home price, and we couldn't get approved because all houses at that price were being bought in cash by investors, either individual investors or hedge funds, mostly like high volume individual investors in our area. And it made me so mad.
Yeah, she was
that
mad.
I was like, I bought a home, I think, out of spite at that point. I know I really did. They say don't make emotional purchases because you're in love with something you can't afford. I made an emotional purchase because I was so mad that local people who wanted to get ahead financially could not get into the market.
And you were just like, you will not have this house. I'll have it.
So we had to go higher. We had to buy a $500,000 home and move into it so that we could afford the mortgage so we could get a conventional loan.
I mean, you didn't
and have less to put down.
But well,
we would not have been able
man.
To afford this as a rental.
Uh-huh.
In order to get into this house, it had to be a conventional loan with 3.5% down. That's all we could afford. So we had to move into it at that point and leave the house that we love. And this is more than you asked for. But we're like, this is our 5-year home.
If we talk about houses, I think every episode we've done on houses in the last 3 years, you're going to get a little bit of angry and unhinged Jen and Jill.
Yeah, from us. But so we've always had this, you know, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, finished garage thing. I dream of a pool, but I would also take friends with a pool, neighbor with a pool. And I just don't know if it's going to happen at this point, which is sad because we were doing everything right, everything we were told to do. And I just don't know.
Who
how it's
going to
happen. Because this is a fixer-upper and we are fixing it up, we will financially come out on top, but not in the way we want to. So that's just frustrating.
Who knew asking us to describe our dream house was going to lead to such just pessimism? We're solidly in our 30s, just catapulting towards 60 when we just believe that there's no hope for anything else left.
Yeah. Driving straight into mediocrity at a very high speed.
But there
Anyways,
are other things to be
so
hopeful about.
Listening.
Yes. like the rest of our episodes. Maybe go back in the archive for something a little bit more lighthearted. And thanks for your kind reviews that are still keeping us afloat. That's a hopeful thing. Like this one from Habarin says, you all need a tour. That's fun. That's a fun suggestion. Frugal Friends Podcast is an entertaining and informative show that just feels like you are chatting with some old pals, some older and older pals. Thanks, Habarin. I don't have a lot of friends I can discuss my debt-free journey with, so it's so fun to listen to y'all. Y'all have made my commute and runs more enjoyable and efficient. If you're ever in Houston, you've got a friend in me. Hey, this is the next... I feel like a lot of people have been suggesting we should go on tour, or maybe I just suggested it because we've got a lot of Aussie fans. There's a lot of people in Australia who listen too. So we're going to go to Texas and Australia and maybe buy a house there, you know,
world tour.
Maybe we'll find more affordable housing.
Nope. There. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps potential new listeners know what our show is all about. Please don't let them know how sad we are.
Don't base it solely off of this episode. Also listen to other episodes and then leave us a review. Okay, see you next time.
Bye.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Oh, Jen.
Yeah. Yeah. We just removed wallpaper this weekend. You know, I told you and I primed the walls. Mm-hmm. I'm going to paint as soon as we're done here.
So. Whoa. Okay. What color?
That's what I have to look forward to. White. Duh.
Yeah. We all love white. White's such a good color.
It's actually, if I could be specific, it's alabaster.
Yes, Sherwin it is. Williams. Of course it is. That's what they recommend.
Mm-hmm. It's what they recommend.
I mean, I went with pure white because I'm a psycho. Oh, yeah. Psycho.
You are.
Psychar.
You're deranged, but I had to have a little bit of gold and black. I think there's gold and black in alabaster.
Yeah, alabaster's got a nice bit of, a little bit of cream to it.
Yes, I love this version of cream, and it is a fantastic paint. We're not sponsored by Sherwin Williams or the color alabaster, but it's a good one.
I would be. I wouldn't turn it down.
I know, right?
I'm excited for my backsplash tile samples are arriving today because this one is also still not done with renovations. But we will start to post some before and afters on our Instagram page. If you're still with us, you're in this podcast enough to probably be interested in those before and afters. So follow us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. At Frugal Friends Podcast. And keep following at Modern Frugality. I'm still doing No Spend January.
Heyo. That's great. That's still happening.
Yes, we're recording this in December, so I haven't done it yet, but at time of publish,
I'll be
in the thick of it. So if you're
locking
with me,
ourselves in,
we got to be in it together because this is the thick of it. So,
are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.